Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. Today, myself and Natalie are talking about hydroquinone. Hydroquinone is a prescription-only treatment for hyperpigmentation and melasma. And today we're unpacking some myths about it, including whether it causes cancer, whether it can bleach your skin, whether it can actually make your pigmentation worse. It's a lovely chat between myself and my lovely friend. There is a tiny little bit of swearing in there, so just beware in case there's children around. I hope you enjoy.
And I had a couple of other questions. Anna Meek on Facebook.
You?
Yeah, she wanted to. Anna Meek said, does it lighten the skin in general or just the areas of pigmentation? And then another really funny person went, will your face explode if you use it pretty much after for longer than 12 weeks?
No.
I said, yes, your face will explode. So
yeah, just literally dust.
Yeah. But it's true, isn't it? That's one of the most like energetic arguments.
Yeah. So should we just start crack on?
Yeah,
start?
Let's do it. I'm just going to type the questions at the bottom before I forgot them. That's all. Okay.
So hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends with me, Mia Patton.
Me, Natalie.
Bon Natalie. So those of you who don't know, I am a dentist and aesthetician and skincare person on the internet who knows stuff about skincare and talks about it all day long. And that is a...
What else do you do? That's not really enough, is it?
No.
You know?
And also mother of some amount of children.
Are you like Boris Johnson? You don't know how many kids you've got.
They just slid out and I forgot.
Someone said Boris Johnson doesn't know how many children he has. And I entirely believe that accusation.
Yeah. Dear me. How embarrassing.
Excuse me. I'm just going to slip some beer. Hold on.
Go for it. Lovely.
Oh, yeah. It is nice. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been doing other podcasts. I've been cheating on you with other people. Yeah.
How was that?
It was nerve-wracking, if I'm honest. Talking
was
to
it really?
This, I was nervous, yeah. The president of Gladskin, Skylar Stein.
Such a cool American name. I love it.
Yeah.
He just sounds like a baddie, doesn't he, in a Superman film. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So how was Skylar?
He was really nice, but, you know, he was saying things to me like Silicon Valley, and I was going, what?
Be scared of speaking to the president of anything if president is in a title, unless it's president of a MLM, you know.
You punch them then.
But that's pretty cool. So has it been?
It was cool.
It's out
in the world. Yeah We talked about the skin microbiome, which is cool,
and just eczema in general.
He has a product that treats eczema.
Okay.
So we talked about eczema and how you can help eczema by supporting the good bacteria that lives on your skin.
Okay.
And
so is it controversial, his products, his treatment, or not really?
No, it's like he has an enzyme which helps to tackle the bad bacteria, Staph aureus, and promotes good bacteria to colonize the skin. So I don't know. You know, I haven't seen any studies about it, but sounds good. He says that it's doing really well and people are getting on with it and it's working.
Oh, that's so cool.
Theory sounds good anyway. Yeah.
Oh, that's wicked. So he's obviously based in the States then.
Yeah.
And is that available worldwide though?
In Britain, yeah. Yeah. I think in Europe. It's widely available.
Oh man. you know, the things that used to be widely available to people in the UK are slowly becoming less widely available.
Less widely available, absolutely.
It's so much.
So bad.
Not to get political, but, you know, Brexit.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. And, like, I think I was reading a post by PSA Skin today saying, we are so sorry, but we're basically going to have to cancel all orders made by British people.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's just awful. It's a really, like, you've gone through a really shitty hard year as a business anyway, unless you're 100%, you know, online sales, in which case, well done you. But, you know, PSA Skin, I don't know how old they are, and I'm assuming they're American. But, yeah, so they've had to cancel all their UK sales. It's just...
Oh, that's not ideal, is it?
No, it's really crap. Really, really crap. So, yeah, we're slowly coming out of a pandemic, but in Britain.
Into Brexit.
Into the realities of Brexit, yeah, which has been talked about for the last 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting very tiresome now, but it's going to get worse. Yeah.
We're talking today about hydroquinone. I just did a really quick poll on my Natalie SWF Instagram page to see how many people had, like 10 people have voted. I only did it like half an hour ago. But pretty much all of those people, apart from me, do not use hydroquinone. And most didn't really know what it was. I think 2 out of 10 knew what it did, but no one has used it. But you know, maybe we know what it is because we live with pigmentation strife.
Yes,
to a certain extent. So I guess perhaps it's just not going to be on your radar, is it? Unless
it's not something you can buy, so people don't hear about it. Then do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's prescription only, so that makes it harder for everyone to get a hold of it. But you know, whenever anyone asks me what they should use for melasma or pigmentation, I just say hydroquinone, that's it. And then what about licorice or azelaic acid? I'm like, no, don't bother, just get some hydroquinone. It works. Yeah.
I mean,
it's one of those.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It's just like the gold standard.
Gold standard, but like a lot of gold standard things comes with a bit of controversy as well, doesn't it? So that's what the whole point of this episode is to cut through the nonsense and bullshit and myths. It's not all wonderful. There can be risks associated with it, but we're going to dive into that now. So don't be scared.
I was trying to figure out whether it's available over the counter at all in America, or is it banned?
I didn't think it was, and it's only okay in strengths between 2-4%. But I thought it was only prescription in the States. I could be wrong though.
Yeah, I know at least it used to be available up to 2% over the counter. There's a product called Admire My Skin, which I've heard people talking about on the melasma groups, that's got 2% hydroquinone.
And that's just available over the counter in the States, is it?
Yeah. My Skin, just Googling it.
I love the name.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it's available. Dark spot corrector, 2% hydroquinone.
Thing is, though, just give me 4, really.
Yeah.
But if that's working for you, then, you know, not going to piss out of chips, but 4 has worked for me. I don't know, where are you in your melasma journey? Not melasma journey, well kind of, but where are you in your hydroquinone journey?
My hydroquinone journey has stopped because I'm on a break from Dermatica, and it's come back.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
How long did it take for it to be noticeable again? After stopping
just a few weeks, I thought I was good, and then, you know, maybe like 4-6 weeks, and I'm like, no, there's that lacy brown patches everywhere.
Yeah, like a little doily in your face. But
just all of a sudden, it seemed to just appear. Oh, okay, not doing so well as I thought. you know, I've been wearing my SPF every day, obviously, and using tretinoin and niacinamide and azelaic acid every day. But that's not enough. It came back anyway, unfortunately. Yeah.
And we've said it before, but what were we using by not Skin and Me. What's the one that basically said it was as efficient as hydroquinone, but it totally wasn't. We both used it.
Tranexamic acid from the
Tranexamic, yeah, that does
5%.
Yeah.
It wasn't efficient at all. It didn't do anything.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. So you are off yours for a bit because you have to, as directed by very responsible people at Dermatica Skin, which is great. It's responsible, but really annoying. I am in my third month. So this is of tretinoin 0.01 with 4% hydroquinone. I love it, but I have to say I've been getting really, really, really flushed cheeks, really flushed lately. But I use it every night. I don't kind of give myself a break from it. So, you know, that is my own fault. But my skin is really dry, especially around my eyes, which is kind of where the pigmentation is. So it sucks a little bit because I think sometimes I just think, yes, I'd love the area around my eyes to look really plump, hydrated and not crinkly. But I also love not having, you know, a Batman mask around my face, which is what, you know, my pigmentation looks like. Sucks, doesn't it? Can't have it all.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate that you've got, you know, the pigmentation is just where it is.
Yeah.
Right on the bit of your face that will suffer the most from being dry.
Yes. Yeah, and definitely, you know, it's in other places. So I apply it really liberally to my forehead where I've just got little sort of dots of, you know, pigmenty spots and on my cheeks, but it just fades so, so quickly. And you, I was just looking in lots of different lights today and you can just hardly see it. But I know that, you know, my break will come and I'll be back to the drawing board again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Sucks.
Yeah, it really does. We will talk in a second about another alternative, a non-prescription alternative as well. But I don't think either of us have tried it. You haven't tried Cispira, have you?
No, I hadn't even heard of it today.
I'd heard of it, so we'll get onto it. It will make sense in a minute. But it's one of those ones, because I just searched for the hashtag hydroquinone free, because obviously, you know, people who have heard bad things about hydroquinone, and we'll talk about that in a second, obviously then are looking for, obviously you've heard of it that it's bad and are looking for hydroquinone free, and that is the other alternative is this Cispira, which is the brand name, the Siastamine, I think, is it Siastamine?
Okay, yeah.
But yeah,
it's an amino acid.
I don't know,
find out more about this stuff.
Yeah,
sounds interesting and cool. But the other option is taking oral tranexamic acid.
Okay,
that's done really well in studies, and that's what lots of dermatologists are using now. Just sort of taking a dose of tranexamic acid every day.
Really, and that's working
really well. Yeah,
are they using it as an adjunct to other stuff as well? You know, other sort of.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, everything, hydroquinone, tretinoin, and oral tranexamic acid.
Yeah. I wonder how it does on its own.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I need to read the studies, la, la, la. But that's looking quite positive as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So, the main, debate about hydroquinone is whether it causes cancer. So do you think it causes, after reading, do you think it causes cancer?
No.
No.
Short answer. No, I don't.
It doesn't appear to, does it?
It doesn't, no. It doesn't. And actually, that was one of the ones I hadn't heard. I've heard of, you know, the ochronosis, and I've heard that basically bleaches the area around the pigmentation, leading to sort of patchiness. I hadn't actually heard really much about the carcinogenic rumour. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, that's what I've seen some people sort of hating on other people on Facebook. So, you know, somebody posts saying I'm using hydroquinone, somebody will comment saying it causes cancer, and then they go, does it? And they go, yeah, do your research. And if you do the research, it looks like it doesn't cause cancer. It's more that it's closely related to another chemical which does cause cancer, called benzene. So it's so closely related that, you know, that's enough of a concern.
I see.
Raise people's caution level to the point where they're not entirely happy to say that it's 100% safe.
Okay.
But, yeah, there hasn't been a single case of hydroquinone causing cancer at all. But there was a rat study where they fed the rats an enormous amount of hydroquinone.
But they injected them with it too.
Yeah. Yeah. They were eating hydroquinone in oil and inject. Yeah. So those rats did get cancer.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
Kidney cancer. Yeah. So, and that was a study in 1992. And they've done loads of other studies on animals since. And there's been no evidence of any cancer being caused, apart from that study where they really did abuse those poor rats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we've been using hydroquinone for more than 50 years and there's no cases of malignancies at all from, you know, the stuff that we do, like applying it to our face.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that you were saying as well is that we are exposed to hydroquinone a lot anyway. Yeah. So how are we exposed to it?
It's in our foods.
What?
So, yeah, I know. Yeah. So they think that the reason we are able to take hydroquinone in, you know, because it comes in, I think it's like photograph developing solutions.
Okay.
So the reason we're able to sort of process the stuff, which could be really carcinogenic, is because we're actually around it all the time.
Okay.
So yeah, there's lots of things that we eat and drink all the time that have got loads of it. So cranberries and blueberries.
Okay.
Yeah. Drinks such as tea, coffee, and red wines contain small quantities of it. Rice and onions, pears apparently have loads.
Yeah, in a particular pear.
Is it a specific pear? Is it?
There was a specific pear that had a really high high amount of micrograms per gram, and it just made me laugh. I think it was a French pear. Yeah. I thought that's really funny. So basically, after having read that, I am probably 75% hydroquinone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just must
run on. Start sort of rubbing pears into your face, couldn't you?
Oh, don't. That'll be EWG approved, I'm sure. That's amazing. Okay.
What does it say? It says 214 micrograms of hydroquinone are ingested with a meal of wheat cereal, slice of wheat bread, and a cup of coffee. So, yeah, wheat is a particularly rich source of hydroquinone. So our bodies are, our livers are used to dealing with the molecule and processing it and getting rid of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, so the scientists can't rule out that it may cause cancer in somebody, in one man who might be, you know, not have been exposed to it before. I suppose there is a sort of a theoretical risk that this rare person would get cancer from hydroquinone, which, you know, that could be true of anything, I think.
Right.
So yeah, doesn't sound like a very, you know, strong risk that I need to worry about.
No, definitely not. I didn't know it was so omnipresent in that many foods, to be quite honest. I had heard about pears and coffee, but yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to be putting bread and pears and coffee on my face.
And pears have got a high-ish amount of, what's that solution that you use to preserve bodies? Formaldehyde? Yeah.
Ah.
I'm sure it's pears.
Yeah. They have a very specific flavour, don't they?
They do.
Because it's formaldehyde.
Yes.
It's for you.
I'm just just going to look it up. Am I lying about pears and formaldehyde? It's definitely a fruit.
I think there's arsenic in apple seeds.
That's true, but they taste arsenicky.
Yeah, we know what arsenic tastes like because of apple seeds.
It tastes of bitter almonds.
Yeah.
There we are. A pear contains 50 times more formaldehyde than is found in any vaccine. Da-da-da-da.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Me coming through with my pear facts today.
Skincare with pears.
Skin pear with friends. Sorry. Okay. So now that we've just squashed that rumour, it does not give you cancer, but it's very similar to something that does give you cancer.
Yeah. It might if you inject a lot of it into a rat.
Yes. Yes.
No, we're not doing that.
So the one that I had heard most, so this is the big myth for me, is that, and actually it's a myth that is very much supported by a lot of websites that purport to report on skincare, is using the word bleach with hydroquinone.
Yeah.
So it obviously, we know it lightens. So I think some people have expressed their sort of worries about it containing bleach or effectively bleaching the skin. What do we say to that?
It's a different sort of chemical process. Mm-hmm. You know, hydroquinone inhibits melanin production. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not that easy to change the color of the skin. It competes with tyrosine in the formation of melanin. So it blocks the melanin from being produced.
Okay.
So it doesn't change the color of the skin as such. It stops this excess melanin from being made.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, have you noticed any lightening of your skin at all?
Definitely not. No. Yeah. And in fact, when my melasma started, for me it was almost like having a dark map drawn under my eyes, and then someone had taken like white eyeliner and drawn, so it was almost like it had a natural white border to it. But that's gone. You'd have to look very hard to see it now. And you didn't notice it, did you? And no other lightening of the skin around the that was a question actually we had on the Skincare with Friends Facebook group. Annemiek asked, how does it sort of whiten or lighten the affected area and not the skin around it? Because I always thought, like, when I had my when I first got my prescription from Dermatica, they would say rub it all over your face. I was like, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want my whole face to lighten. So I was just putting it in, like dabbing it into the affected areas. Now it just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you sort of target it when you put it on?
No, I've got my pigmentations all over my face, really.
Right.
So yeah, it's sort of lacy all around my forehead, the sides of my faces. I'm quite lucky in that it doesn't really affect the middle of my face.
Right.
Which is quite good. You know, you see a lot of women with melasma moustaches.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. And your pattern, that's not great, is it, to have it underneath your eye?
But possibly quite common, I would say, especially if it is related to sun damage.
Mm.
I would say it's probably not uncommon to have it there. I remember because, you know, I was really irresponsible with sunscreen. So I remember, because I don't have eyebrows naturally, my melasma, you can't really see it now, but it's very dark under the eyebrow. That's where it starts. It starts under the eyebrow and draws around. So it's obviously where I wasn't putting on sunscreen because I didn't want it to stay penciled in eyebrows, which is really, I obviously should have been slapping it on and then penciling my eyebrows in afterwards. But
God.
So really that's the, if it's targeting those melanocytes and telling them not to make any more melanin in that area, how is it then not targeting the others?
Well, I think it's just that those ones are spewing out melanin. You know, it hasn't got such a great effect that it can stop melanin full stop. So,
yeah,
you know, there is still going to be a melanin produced by all the cells.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are really chucking it out.
Yeah.
It's having that much effect on those ones because they're the ones that are doing more. So,
yeah,
it has the effect of creating a sort of even playing field when it comes to melanin production throughout all of the cells.
That's so what you put in your little study here, I think explains that really nicely as a counter argument to actually bleaching. So you said that the hydroquinone blocks the enzyme tyrosinase and competes with tyrosine to prevent its eventual conversion into melanin rather than actually taking the color out of the skin afterwards.
That's
the perfect, you know, that's how it's the antithesis really of bleaching. It's stopping it before it has the chance to make that rather than taking that that color out after. However, there was, so I wasn't aware of it either, but basically destruction of the melanocytes, so the, you know, what actually makes the melanin, that actually isn't a myth. So hydroquinone can react with oxygen to form hydroxybenzoquinone, which can kill the cells that make melanin and therefore can bleach the skin. So this is basically why we have hydroquinone in this country on prescription only, and also in ways, in delivery mechanisms that don't allow it to mix with oxygen. So basically, if you've got your little 15 mil pump from Dermatica Skin, and I think Skin and Me, do they do hydroquinone as well? I think they do. So basically the advice is to throw your hydroquinone away as soon as it starts to yellow. And I have to admit, I've actually been guilty of using it after it starts to yellow, only because I've used tretinoin after it starts to yellow, you know, because sometimes I'm quite slow with using up the Dermatica. Sometimes I don't want to put
it. It goes a long way, actually, that 15 mils, doesn't it?
It really, really does. To me, I have real problems using that up in a month. But now I will be really very strict about as soon as it starts to show that yellowishness, then I am going to start throwing it away. So you have to make sure that your hydroquinone is in airtight containers with a pump. So there's minimal mixing with oxygen, and throw away when it starts to yellow. And again, I think that's where it gets its kind of bad rap, is that possibly in very dodgy whitening and bleaching processes and you know, over the internet black market whitening stuff, hydroquinone is probably the friendliest ingredient in what is a really frightening cocktail of ingredients that probably will bleach your skin, and in dangerous you know, strength. So rather than it being the hydroquinone itself, it could be a myriad other things that people are using in very dodgy skin lightening formulations.
Knows. So, you know, it makes sense that they would make it a prescription only
thing,
but you know, that's not to say that it's dangerous. It just needs to be well controlled and used correctly.
You did touch on this earlier. So what is exogenous ochronosis?
So that's when your skin turns an alarming shade of blue gray.
Okay.
So probably like the opposite of what you're trying to achieve when you're treating your melasma is to make it blacker.
That would be absolutely terrible, you know, if you're trying to.
Horrifying.
The worst thing you can imagine. Yeah, it must be awful for those people who have suffered from it. So how does it happen?
Basically, the hydroquinone starts to accumulate in the skin, and after a long period of time, it polymerizes to a substance called homogenistic acid, which is black. Yeah, it's a really dark color.
Okay.
So, and you'll be treating your melasma with the hydroquinone for years and years and years, and then you'll start to notice the melasma possibly getting worse, but it's not the melasma. It's actually an accumulation of the hydroquinone sort of collecting in your cells.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And it's not very easy to treat. They've tried all sorts of things like steroids and tretinoin. They didn't work.
No.
So the best option is laser for it. So basically just burning it out.
Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah. So not something you want to risk getting. So it seems to be that the longer people are using hydroquinone, the more likely it is you are to get this ochronosis.
Okay.
I don't know of anyone who's had it or seen any pictures of anyone who thought they might have had it or anything in the skincare groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said there that there's a report in the US that there were 37 cases from 1983 to 2014. So not enough for it to be, you know, us to laugh it off. But, you know, definitely very, very small numbers.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's, you know, from total unbridled use of hydroquinone all the time for years. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Right.
It seemed to be something that was just happening in Asia and Africa. But, you know, there have been some cases among, you know, lighter skinned people in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely something that you can't, you know, think, oh, well, it won't happen to me. I'll just keep using it. It's fine, because it might.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely devastating.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. Lab Muffin, who probably everyone who's listening to this knows who she is. What's her real name? Michelle Wong. Yeah, and she was really, what she was writing in her blog about it again is the prevalence of probably other dodgy compounds like mercury compounds that are found in quite a few controversial skin whitening formulas as well. Not saying they cause the ochronosis, but again, it could be hydroquinone itself in really high percentages used with some other kind of dodgy stuff. And that's why it's used under the supervision of a dermatologist. Don't buy any shite from eBay or anyone else.
God knows. Yeah. You don't know what you're getting, and it could be mercury.
Oh my goodness. And yeah, that's the thing as well. I get really frustrated, as I'm sure you are now, because your melasma has made a return, although I can't, I can't see it at all.
I can't see it on the monitor, no.
No. Is that it has to be such a long break from hydroquinone as well.
Yeah.
That's the bit that really gets me. It's like, okay, I get it for about 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, but 3 month break? Come on.
Yeah. I don't know what they're basing that break on. You know what? I don't know if there's any evidence about how long the break should be.
That was my question. Because I think to be on the safe side, they've gone, okay, well, prolonged use of hydroquinone as per these studies, you know, can increase perhaps the danger of developing this really rare ochronosis. But to give it then the 3 months off, because you're kind of, you're not undoing the good. You never back. I don't think my melasma personally will ever be back to square one. But I never want. I don't ever want to attempt that. Try that theory out either.
Yeah.
Why 3 months?
Yeah, I don't think they know this. I think they're just sort of thinking, well, the skin cycle is 6 weeks, so do two skin cycles.
Yeah. Which totally makes sense. Yeah. Thanks for thinking of us, but I'd rather you didn't.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's concerns about it. They could have, you know, just taken it off the table altogether.
So. Yeah, don't say that.
Lucky, really. Yeah.
So those are the really common myths, but another really very common one, and this I have to say has been every time I've spoken about either tretinoin or melasma or hydroquinone just on my Instagram page, which doesn't have loads of followers, there's one particular woman who just comments like, this is really bad, your chance of ochronosis, you're going to prematurely age your skin, this is terrible. She's even then messaged other people who've commented on my post as well, and sort
she
of
needs
got
to go to Natalie.
I know, it's
she's
really
Debbie bad. Downer.
I know, she's been quiet of late, but then I saw her actually comment on Dermatica And I was like, oh gosh, it's all yours now. You can have it.
Oh, no, I haven't seen her. I haven't digitally met that person.
No, I don't know. And she asks a lot of questions, which is really cool. And if people don't mind answering, then that's absolutely fine. But you know what it's like. If it's not a post of yours on your page, then you just think, oh no, leave it out. That person didn't want a discussion.
No,
I don't mind having one, you know, but anyway, she was basically saying people of color. So, you know, pretty much anyone who isn't white should not be using hydroquinone and other options are advised. And this is what I meant when
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Have you not
read it?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that. I've seen that quite a lot, but only because I'm such an avid follower of DJ Ayadele, who has the black skin directory and has Western aesthetics, and she is a really prolific sort of bullshit buster, especially about things like this. You know, I'm more aware of it only because I read a lot of her blogs and posts. But yeah, it's quite a common, and again, this Cispera treatment is specifically aimed at people of color. So the actual brand is, and you know, markets itself as hydroquinone free as well. So So you know.
So why shouldn't they use hydroquinone?
Because this is what Deja says. So she says that, I mean, Cispera basically is based on cysteamine. So it's non-irritating and non-photosensitive. So actually, when I read that, I was like, you know what, I'm pretty tempted then. If it's not going to make my skin dry and photosensitive, that's actually pretty cool. I'd be pretty, you know, happy to try that as well.
Oh, so, yeah, I'd try anything.
Absolutely. But Deja said, and I'm quoting her, it runs through the black community that hydroquinone is bad for you and you shouldn't be using it. However, within aesthetics, it's a very effective ingredient when prescribed by a GP or a dermatologist. It is when it's used incorrectly with steroids and with other acids that it can be dangerous, because it can bleach and cause stinging. So when it's used for treating acne, if you are going to have a skin peel, and there are some that require you to use a sort of melanin suppressor beforehand, hydroquinone can be really effective. But, you know, over the counter and applied carelessly, it can be bad for your skin. She then went on to say there was an interview between her and LBB Skin, which is a really nice British skincare brand. She said the bad rep really comes from use in skin bleaching in conjunction with very high percentages, like we said before, and with other really dodgy ingredients. So the only reason that Deja uses Cispera is obviously, you know, she's a dermatologist, and hydroquinone is prescription, only available on prescription. So that's why Cispera is used in Western aesthetics. If I lived anywhere near London, I would be booking a slot with her very soon. So yeah, it's quite.
But it doesn't sound like there's any special reason that
black-skinned
people should avoid hydroquinone.
No, but then can
above
you
Caucasians?
Yeah, exactly. But I think if you were to think of something with our white skin, something lightening ours, it's not going to have that. If it was going to be bleaching, it's not going to have a hugely obvious visual effect. Whereas on darker skin and people of color, that is going to be a mark. And are really worrying, because again, you would open yourself up to like post-inflammatory pigmentation as well, wouldn't you? After, you know, putting yourself through such a stressful situation. So that's a myth that Deja's been happy to bust. And although, you know, cysteamine or Cispera as the brand name is, sounds like it's a really nice thing to try. They also, I think Cispera contains another ingredient as well, which kind of, you know, lessens the irritation. I don't know, are you looking it up?
No, I'm looking at the safety of hydroquinone for black skin.
Okay.
And it's safe.
Intensive pigment corrector. So basically, and there's quite a few providers of it in Britain, but basically free of hydroquinone to improve the appearance of stubborn discoloration. What is it using? Let me just quickly find out what is in it. I love when you just go into a brand site and it just won't tell you what is in it.
Yeah, give me the ingredients, motherfucker.
I just want to know. Yeah.
it's one of those ones that you've got to find someone to provide it to you rather than just ordering it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you have to go to a dermal or esthetician to get it. Cysteamine hydrochloride, here we go. Let's have a look. Cysteamine hydrochloride, a metabolite of L-cysteine, natural cellular component. It inhibits melanin synthesis, so it sounds like it works exactly along the same way. Has an unpleasant sulfuric odour, but manufacturers claim to produce this. Cysteamine cream. Is it safe? Yes. Natural molecule with an excellent safety profile and known anti-melanoma and anti-carcinogenic effect. So actually, it sounds like a pretty amazing all-round ingredient. Mesoesthetic. Okay. Mesoesthetic do one, but mesoesthetic's really expensive. Yeah, it's 55 quid. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same. Because you'll need to use it all the time.
Yeah.
55 quid is insane. No way.
And again, if it's got the sort of shelf life of anything like hydroquinone, there's no point. You're not going to buy 30 mils of it, are you, and keep it for 3 months?
No.
Because it's either going to lose efficacy or it's just going to be bad for you.
Get some hydroquinone from the dermatologist.
Hydroquinone. The other question we had from someone from the Facebook group basically said, will your face explode after 12 weeks of use? She's seen arguments about this on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's true. We don't know. Like you said,
specific research, and they don't even know how long it takes to cause ochronosis.
Yeah.
There isn't. Yeah. Basically, they know that it's happened to some people. They don't know how long they were using it for.
So yeah.
They're just, you know, they've noted that it happens. So they just exercise caution, extreme caution. So that's what it's all about.
I might look at this Suspira stuff when the salon's open. There's no providers of it in Wales. I already checked. There's one in Hereford.
We'll give them a ring in Hereford and go, what's all this about then?
Tell us what's in your cream. Yeah. You like, who are you?
Is it all right or what?
Yeah. What's it like? 50 quid. And then hang up.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Have we busted the myths? We've busted
so many myths, it's unbelievable. I hope that kind of does help, because it is being a bit vilified, this old hydroquinone. And really, we don't think it's for any good reason.
Like, if you're sort of looking at all this clean beauty bullshit, hydroquinone is in pears. It's in coffee, natural extract.
Rub it on your face, rub it all over your face. You can put it on the highlighter, like on your cheekbones, like Gwyneth does with sunscreen.
Is that what she does? I didn't catch the
gist. Did you not
see
it?
No. So Natalie messaged me earlier on and said, have you been keeping up with all this Gwyneth Paltrow twattery? And I was like, no. And then I Googled it, and the first thing that popped up was, Gwyneth Paltrow has given Kim Kardashian a vibrator, some lubricant, and a candle that smells like a vagina as a present for getting divorced. I was like, oh, nice. That's kind.
Yeah, that sounds goopy. No, this one is. So I think Caroline Hirons was annoyed more that she's giving out really silly advice when it comes to sunscreen. And, you know, I like Gwyneth Paltrow's face because, you know, she hasn't done too much. Like, she's got, you know, she's knocking on 50 now. She's 48, 49. Yeah. And, like, you know, she's kind of au naturel and stuff. But she's got a lot of sun damage, especially on her chest.
She's freckly, isn't she?
She's very freckly, but she's... you can see that there's like quite a bit of damage and around her nose and cheeks as well. So basically she went through her beauty secrets and she went, I don't really like to slather myself in sunscreen. I just like to like use it as a highlighter. And then she just did this little dotty thing on the bit. She went on the bit the sun will touch. So basically.
Oh my God. Yeah, the sun doesn't touch anywhere else.
It doesn't touch your eyelids.
Where you put your highlighter.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So use it as a highlighter, but that angered people, but also the fact that it was sort of amplified by Vogue magazine. So it was in conjunction with Vogue magazine. And I think people were more annoyed by that. And actually, Caroline Hirons made a really good point, which is so many of these influencers, and you know, there are many in the skincare world, would have absolutely ripped a young TikToker for saying that, and done a reaction video and just reacted in a you know, and just been really bitchy and taking them down. but it was Gwyneth Paltrow and Vogue magazine, so that didn't really happen. And people have sort of written that and said, that's, you know, what you've said is, you know, not true and also really dangerous. What are you talking about?
I was just going to say, oh, surely people don't believe anything that she says. And then I thought, no, they do. They really, really do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I really love Drew Barrymore, but she did something. I think it was like Sunday Riley. Did I tell you? Sunday Riley got quite a, it's like an AHA sort of, I don't know, like mask, rinse off mask type thing. Mm. But it's quite high, you know, percentage of whatever AHA it was. And she was like, I like to put this on my skin and then cycle to work in like downtown LA at like 11.
Crazy bitch.
Bless her. She did this whole little video. But Sunday Riley stupidly went, oh, isn't this really sweet? Drew Barrymore's like, instead of going, thank you so much. We really appreciate the free PR. However, you should be rinsing it off your face. God bless her. Celebrities can say anything though. That's what makes them so hilarious.
They're just human beings. They don't know.
No.
They're just idiots like us.
Oh dear.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I got into an argument in work with one of my dental nurses.
Oh,
She's like, this is really sweet. She's like, right, how do I get my skin like yours, Nia? You know, like I've had a facelift. I'm like, well, thank you. I have not had a facelift.
That is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really happy. But then she said, and I said, well, first of all, you've got to sort your sunscreen. First step of being getting in with skincare and improving your skin is going to be getting a good sunscreen that you're happy to wear every single day. And she was like, every day. I'm like, yeah. What about if I go on sunbeds? I nearly punched her in the face.
They don't exist.
Like, no. And she listens, actually. She might even hear me. Jodie, step away from that machine.
Oh, Jodie, don't do it. I did it. I did it in my 20s. Yeah. I fully put my melasma down to just taking the piss out of not using sunscreen and sunbeds as well.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I don't put it down to anything else anymore. I was kind of in denial and thought it might be hormonal, but oh no, don't do it. Oh my God. I just can't believe they're still open.
Sunday. Yeah, how is it legal? They're so dangerous.
Weird. I know a place in Barry, which is like a really, really nice place, and they do these amazing fake tans, the one I told you about called Tanya White Bits. And it's still cool, and it's a really cute little salon, but she still has a sunbed in the back, right? Just get rid of it. It'd be like opening a really nice cafe and then just serving Nescafe. I don't know. It's just silly.
Yeah.
You know, you're either about looking after yourself or you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mixed messages.
It is. Oh, dear. Well, hopefully Jodie will listen. And when we're not being judgmental, but we are, but only because I would like to turn the clock back 20 years.
Yeah, and tell myself that.
When did you start wearing sunscreen?
I think I've worn it, you know, I think it was probably mid-20s.
Yeah. Wow, you're wearing sunscreen daily from your mid-20s.
Yeah, well, maybe not daily, but every time I went out and the sun was visible.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
I fell
asleep on a beach in Thailand once on holiday for like 2 hours or something. And I woke up and my boyfriend at the time was like, why didn't you wake me up? I'm in pain. My face hurts.
We were going
to a wedding the next day. I have a rich friend who got married in Thailand, and my skin literally slid off. It just glid off my face. It was rank. And I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it. Hopefully for your relationship as well. I hope you dumped him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was over. It was the most sad experience of my life. Just like trying to put makeup on my face. It was just
proper sunburn like that. It takes weeks and weeks to get over, doesn't it?
Yep.
That amount of burning.
It was so bad. And I don't think my skin ever recovered. I think that was it.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. You get traumatized. It is traumatized.
Yeah.
Step away from the sunbeds. Yeah, just or legalize them. They're just mad.
Yeah. I really don't think they should exist.
Nothing feels like, you know, I love feeling the sun on my skin, and especially for us now, we've had the first real warm weather of ages, you know.
Yeah.
It was in the 20s, I guess, yesterday. Maybe low 20s. So I don't know what that is in American, like high 60s, I guess.
700 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. High 60s, like maybe 70 degrees, something like that.
100 Fahrenheit is as high temperature for a child, I think, isn't it?
Yes. Now translate that to the weather. Fahrenheit. What was I saying? Oh yeah, it was warm yesterday, and I was really excited, but obviously, you know, put my sunscreen on and everything, but it was really nice to feel the warmth of my body.
I enjoyed the sun through the shade of a tree,
which is great. Let's just do that.
I wouldn't want to go to a beach anymore. The idea of being on a beach makes me feel a bit frightened, because the level of sun with no shade, I'm like, nah.
And before, even when I went to Morocco in 2015, I was like sitting on a sunbed pretty much from 12 till 4. Yeah. I know.
That's so that's just, you know, they do say mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
No. The people have siestas for a reason. Too bloody hot, unless you are British, which
crazy fools.
Yeah. But I noticed a lot of red chests out yesterday, a lot of red chests, backs, and ears.
It's traditional in Cardiff for men to remove their upper clothing items.
Yeah,
when the sun comes out.
The shopping street.
It's a wonderful tradition.
It is. My builder was doing it yesterday. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that in my garden, thanks.
Yeah, put it away, Dave.
Sorry, we've gone off on a tangent, but we have
to say goodbye and wait before.
No, no, you'll listen to us for another hour. Talk just about gardeners.
Yeah, you just sort of assume everyone's turned off now, haven't you?
Yeah. Still here. Thank you so much.
How sweet of you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's that, and.
Yeah.
Let us know, you guys. There's Skincare with Friends Facebook group. We are so happy to have you. There's not 2.5 grand of us yet. Is there 2,300 members?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, or Skincare with Friends on Instagram.
And I'm trying to set up an interview with the Dermatica people.
Wicked.
With one of the dermatologists, so I can grill them about tretinoin and all that.
I have to say, I really like their no nonsense approach to people who spread misinformation. So somebody I can't remember the name of the person on Dermatica, and someone said, would this be really good? Would tretinoin be really good for my melasma? And the derm didn't have a chance to sort of respond, but someone else didn't say, no, don't do it, don't treat it, it just comes back worse, nothing ever gets rid of it, it's just a scam, money and whatever else. And the lady just politely but ever so professionally said, please do not listen to such misinformation.
This is not true.
This is not true. This is incorrect information.
Yeah. And
please get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss. So yeah,
we've got science.
Yeah, we have science. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So when are you interviewing that person?
I don't know yet. I've asked them to will they come on, would they like to have an interview done, and they've said yeah, that sounds really cool, we'll have a chat with our team, see who's available. So that's as far as I've got. Yeah,
Oh, that's really cool. Did I tell you about, I was watching a live session with Nadine Baggett and Skin and Me? Did I tell you this?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Tell me again.
So Skin and Me is a very new, one of the newer sort of competitors to Dermatica. Really, I think it is only those two on the market in the UK, aren't there? Skin and Me. I think Skin and Me, I think the only thing they have that Dermatica doesn't is perhaps more, staggered in terms of strength of things like tretinoin.
Yeah.
So, they'll start you on the really, really low amounts and sort of work up. I don't really know if there's any other differences apart from that. But the guy, who's the CEO or, the guy that sort of founded it, he's a really, really nice guy. But do you ever watch Nadine Baggett when she does her sort of, YouTube video?
No, I don't really do this sort of influencer Instagram stuff.
She's got, many, many followers on her YouTube channel. She's just brilliant. She's so personable and really, really lovely. But she's you could tell that he was a bit because she was and really what I wanted to ask was, would I put tretinoin, would I put it on my chest, close to my boobies? I don't know. And I thought, maybe I will. And she's just talking amongst her friends. And he was this bespectacled man in his early 30s.
He's going, close to your boobies.
So let's talk about tretinoin. And he just looked like a really scared little boy.
God,
it was very I didn't even think she said boobies. She just said, take it closer down, You can see.
Oh my gosh.
She's like a naughty aunt. That's what makes me really like Nadine Baggett. She's just funny.
Yeah, that sounds funny.
Yeah, watch it if you can. That's brilliant. Well, let me know when you.
Oh yeah, and Dermatica, just cut back in before we managed to get rid of me. Cut back in to say that Dermatica have launched a 20%. This isn't an advert. They haven't paid me anything.
Oh,
they've launched
a
20%. Azelaic acid you can just buy,
which is just totally over the counter.
Yeah, just I want it, I'm gonna have it.
And is it like 20 pounds for 30 mils?
Amazing.
That's really, really great. Life-changing.
It's a bugger to get hold of.
Yeah, that's so cool. I saw that they'd launched that earlier this week. I was just about to buy my ordinary Azelaic and I was like, nope, I'm gonna go for the Dermatica one. My colleague who I work with is a guy, and he said, I really want to start taking care of my skin. And I was like, so cool. My eyes lit up like an evil genius, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna play with your face.
Okay, here we go.
So he's just started on Trek now with Dermatica. I'm like, how is it, how are you feeling? He's like, my face is so red. It's great though, isn't it?
Good. That's good. That means it's making you younger.
Yes, I say. I was like, have you got your sunscreen yet? He's like, yeah, it's arrived. And he was very responsible. He ordered the sunscreen before he ordered the tretinoin, so he'd be ready. He's following all the steps. But it's great. It is like being a member of a cult, isn't it? And having new members.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and if I say to a patient who I'm, doing Botox or fillers, I'm like, do you use sunscreen? And then, you can just go from there then.
Yeah.
Yes, I use it every day. And you're like, good, we can talk.
Yes. We can be friends. That's brilliant. Oh, well, yeah.
We need to come up with, I think our catchphrase should be something. We should have a catchphrase. That's what everyone says.
You've
got to have a tagline. Yeah.
Oh, God.
We haven't been saying the same thing over and over again. We need to start.
Okay.
SBF is your BFF.
I would say that. Okay. Let's have a think about it then.
We can have a competition or something, can we?
Okay.
Whoever comes up with the best idea gets the honor of winning our tagline.
Okay. Oh, that sounds pretty good. I just did a massive Yes Style order. Huge.
Cool.
I'm so happy. I've done it for ages. I bought so many sunscreens. I bought like six.
Oh, that's good. That's good at this time of year.
Yeah, it's just all ones I'd not used before as well. I just thought, you know, try something different. And the Debenhams skincare sale is, well, everything is like 60% off pretty much.
Oh, that's depressing.
I know. It is. It's really depressing. And that's why I was going to buy that Kat Von D foundation, and I threw it out of my basket the last minute.
I don't know what it's like.
I just think if the other one is so bad, not really.
Yeah, Lockett foundation was the most unusable product I've ever tried. It was shit.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
And was it supposed to be, is it like a high coverage?
It's supposed to be quite full coverage, yeah, full on, long wear. And I put it on, I thought, this looks amazing. And then, like, you know, my husband looked at me and he was like, what's going on with your face? And I was like, I don't know, what is going on with my face? And then I looked in the mirror, I was like, oh God, it's kind of like just fallen into all of my creases and pores, and it just looked grim. Really bad stuff.
That really sucks. It wasn't called that one, and it wasn't called the Good Apple one. It was another foundation.
Okay, I don't know.
But I removed it anyway.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But yeah, it's a shame. I just went for the really old lady stuff, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I love Yves Saint Laurent foundation anyway.
Double wear. It's a good, solid choice.
KVD cool. Foundation finder. Yeah, should we say goodbye?
Yeah, let's say goodbye to the listeners. Before we start going on about foundation.
Okay.
Lush.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Remember, everybody, SPF is your BFF.
We got to find a cooler tagline. We will. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Okay. We are open to suggestions. Whatever you want us to talk about, let us know either on Facebook or Instagram. Love you.
Brilliant. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.